Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good Saturday afternoon to you as well.
Yeah, it's nice out, a little cloudy. Not as sunny as we'd like it to be, I guess, but yeah, it's all right.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. All right, so let's start out with our sponsor this half hour and get the business out of the way. Marilyn Handloser is your classic RE/MAX neighborhood expert. You can reach her at 248-231-4216. If you're looking for lake property in the Brighton, Pinckney, Whitmore Lake area, Marilyn is the expert. She has some listings and knows the area very well. So you can also go to www.marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, Handloser, L-O-S-E-R.com. So give Marilyn a call and see if you can find your new home. Okay, there we go. I'm getting better at that.
Well done.
I? Well done.
An announcer at heart.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch. So I did make coffee, and I see that you grabbed some. It's good today, isn't it?
Yeah, you always lure me in. Yeah, what kind of coffee is this? It tastes different. I almost said it sounds different.
It's my special blend.
Oh, boy.
I was just telling Ed. He walked in and said, hey, I've got half and half in the cream or in the fridge, you know? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes I use it when it tastes like crap. And then other times when there's no rhyme or reason. The coffee comes out good or the coffee comes out bad. I don't control that. It's the mojo in the room, I think.
I think it's the coffee machine that we have.
Could be.
It's from the Eisenhower administration.
It probably needs a good cleaning, maybe. That's all. Well, I don't have any of my paperwork in front of me, so for this first segment here, we're free, man. We're wild and free.
Going commando, huh?
Going commando. 734-822-1600. Feel free to call in. I guess I want to start out like everyone else has today, I think, giving all of ourselves a pat on the back for Prop 1. The voters... Yeah. We're educated. This really was amazing. I mean, I sat up election night and I kept going to the Livingston and Washtenaw websites and the MLive site and looking at what the figures were coming in. And I kept expecting Wayne County to kind of throw it in the other direction, you know. But when Wayne County came in, it was the same thing. Even the voters down in Detroit and Wayne County voted against it.
I think Senator Kolbeck said it was 82% against in Wayne County.
Yeah, I was just flabbergasted. So I'm proud, and this is a thank you and a well done to all the voters who got out and voted, and to all the people who campaigned against it, and all the local hosts on this station who, us included, did a good job of alerting people and educating them. And
you know what's going to happen though, don't you?
They're going to shut us down.
Okay, the people voted. Right? And you're thinking that will be respected.
Right.
But somebody, some interest group or somebody will take this to the U.S. Supreme Court to see if it's unconstitutional for the people to have voted against it.
Why do you got to bring
it
down?
Kind of like gay marriage, you know, like it doesn't matter what the people vote.
Yeah.
It's unconstitutional.
Yeah, well, I guess the job is not done because we do need to let our legislators know that, you know what, enough funny business, don't go back and then pass basically the same thing without approval. You know, go cut the budget, go find something, or take the existing funding off the gasoline tax as it is and put it all to the roads. I'm not asking a lot, I'm just asking you to do what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, just you just want some common sense.
A little common sense goes a long way, dude, and that's what we propose on The Drift, Common Sense Radio, right? So this is what we do every week. We get to vent a little bit and go over the news of the week, stories at www.thedailydrift.com. If you have not been to The Daily Drift, you need to do so. And I can send you a free email link every day if you just drop in your email.
See, me being the vengeful accountant that I am, all of the money that was wasted along the way and diverted to other buckets of waste, I want that money back, too, that should have gone to the roads all along.
Yes. How do we do that?
I don't know.
Who do we sue? I want to sue.
Well, you'd have to make, I think, draconian cuts in those poor, underprivileged teachers and other areas.
You know, that's
because they've gotten the money all along, right?
Yes, that money has been going to the education fund. And they need to separate it because you know what? You'll get the money for the education system. Michigan has always been very good to our teachers.
In fact, these teachers have to work 12 months a year and not only not receive pay, but pay us the taxpayer back.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh,
until
shoot.
It's made good.
That sounds like
it's made whole.
That's hate speech, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to get a boycott of teachers out front picketing us for that. No, I think we're number five in the nation. I can't remember. Don't hold me to that figure. But I thought it's we were right like number five in the nation for spending on our education. So you can't say we're behind the times. You know what I mean? If California and the coastal states where property values are really high are spending more, that's pretty obvious. But for Michigan to be number five, and yet I don't think our results are. I want to think our results are down in the middle of the pack somewhere as far as the states. We'll have to dig that up. I was lazy. I thought about it earlier in the week, and you know what? I'm busy. Look, some of you people have to get out and do your own homework, crying out loud. Go to the Daily Drift. That's what we do for you every week.
And you hear stats in Detroit that it's like what, less than 20% graduate high school?
Yeah.
Hello? How can that be?
Because people, well, you know what? If you're getting a load of garbage in school, you know, maybe you don't want to be in school. Maybe those kids in Detroit are dropping out because they're tired of the liberal nonsense.
So, yeah. I, so it's
maybe. I'm so stupid to make up my own mind.
It speaks volumes that if you do graduate from Detroit, perhaps the education you're getting isn't all that great. And then if you're not even getting that education because you've dropped out, that's pretty scary. And
yeah.
It's not just a handful of people. It's a vast majority that don't graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, and I know like you, I mean, graduating high school was the bare minimum expectation, not only from your parents and your peers and your family, but it was just ingrained in us that there's no other choice but to graduate high school, right? I mean, did you ever for one second consider dropping out of high school?
No.
Ever for one second, no matter how much you hated a teacher, no matter how much you were behind in a term paper or what have you, that never crossed my mind.
No.
That was even an option.
Yeah, the few people in town that were dropouts were ostracized. You were literally ostracized, you know, and they were forced to go back and get their GED. And I think I've said this before, way back in my former life, I taught adult ed and mm-hmm. in Detroit and in Pontiac and Hazel Park. And I had students, and I called them my kids, but I had students who were 50 and 60 years of age. They wanted to learn a trade. So it was painting, drywall, brick and cement and everything else, you know, roofing. And it was amazing that many of these older students, the ones in their 50s and 60s, were like, Gary, I wish this opportunity had been there because I screwed up 30 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, just not having a trade, not going to college, not doing something, you know. And it didn't have to be college. Trades were fine.
Sure.
You know, there was nothing wrong with trades. And I think I've said it before on this show, you know, half the reason our infrastructure is so bad is because they didn't let kids go into voc ed to learn trades. You know, they would take the people who didn't perform well in regular school, you can go to voc ed. Well, 30 years later, you wonder why the infrastructure is bad, because everyone that went into voc ed were the less than stellar students. You know?
Yeah, that's
so
true. You know, and I'll be honest with you, too. I'm not sitting here pounding my chest saying how great I am because going through the public schools in the 70s, I'll admit it, I did the bare minimum to get by. I was not, I mean, there was some like history, I love that, but some of the other stuff, you know, I just seemed to be able to do enough to get like a B minus average overall, you know, and I could go in there on the, like geometry, I could walk in, and I don't know why, because I'm not that great at math, I could sit down and I've skipped class for a while, I didn't even know a test was being held that day, and as the teacher's passing the test out, I'm in a panic skimming through the book real quick, you know, and I managed to get a C.
Yeah.
On it. Now, so, and the reason I tell that story and confessing like this is because like these guys that you were teaching that are 50, 60 years old that wish they had done it differently, I wish that I had done it differently too.
Yeah.
I wish that I had really applied myself because I know I I could have gotten really great grades and learned a lot more and gone to a, you know, a Duke or a Stanford or something like that. And, you know, that opens up a whole another ball game for you.
Yeah.
But in the 70s, especially, I'm going to blame it on the 70s, not myself. You know, I don't, no one wants to take personal accountability. I'm going to blame it on the 70s.
You have to.
You know, where you just had this whole grunge mentality of a carryover from the 60s, like, you know, wearing the army jackets with they smell like pot and walking into the bathroom and people in there dealing micro dot.
Purple.
Yeah. Stuff like that. I was never one of them, but I mean, that was going on. That was the mentality.
Derek's looking at us like, really? You guys are confessing all that?
That was the mentality.
You and I were two peas in a pod because I was the same way. You know, I got through high school, managed to get into Western Michigan University, and I took business classes. I should have gone engineering. I had enough brains to do engineering, but I was slacking, you know. And my dad said to me at one point, he said, you know, you've got B's and A's here, but I can tell you're not really working very hard. If you want, I'll pay to send you to the U of M. And I thought to myself, I can, because I either went to class or I did homework. I didn't do both at Western. Honestly, I didn't have to. If I read the book, I could walk into the test without ever hearing that teacher speak and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in class, and I did, I mainly went to class, I didn't have to study. I just took the test and I passed, you know, and I was getting B's and A's. And I thought to myself, I can go to U of M and struggle, because I thought at the time that U of M was like really hard. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. And I thought, nah. I can get along at Western and get B's and A's without really trying. So I was a bit of a slacker.
Yeah, and have a social life that was far
outweighing. Imagine what
would
have happened to me had I gone to the U of M. I could have become the most ultimate liberal douchebag and be working for W. Wasserman Schultz and the DNC.
You may have been a true blue conservative at U of M and just maybe had more connections,
maybe,
too, in life. You never know.
Maybe.
You know, U of M is one of those top-tier schools, supposedly.
I could be CEO right now. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into the meat of the show. We'll see you on the other side.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with the Saturday Night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Oh, we're having some kind of fun down here with only the finest ingredients to be had in weak, singeing rock, hip-shake, and soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues.
From 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie.
Tooling around the streets of Tree Town.
At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots music with Radio John D. and the Greasy Skillet.
Thanks for tuning in, and I do hope you're checking us out on Facebook.
Then, Dan Martin brings you the best music of the UK on London Calling from 10 to midnight.
The UK number one hit, Message in a Bottle. This is The Police.
Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go.
Here's another rockin' set kicked off with a track from the VLV Weekender soundtrack.
It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. on the musical side of Wham.
She wiped your runny nose. She kissed your little boo-boos. She changed your poopy diaper. I'm talking about, of course, your mother, the saintly heroine who powdered your little behind and selflessly supported your adolescent passion for the drums. Show your appreciation this Mother's Day at the ABC Warehouse Pay Mom Back Sale, where you can save up to 65% store-wide. Mom warned you not to sit so close to the TV or it would ruin your eyes. Reward her with a brand new LED HD TV. She made you eat your vegetables. Yeah. Repay her with a new appliance, and she tucked you into beddy by. So put her to bed with a comfy new mattress set from ABC Warehouse. Sure, when she gave your tender bottom a good spanking, she said, someday you'll thank me for this. Well, someday is finally here, and you'll never play with matches again. Again, will you?
Mom deserves a new Sealy mattress set, and right now at ABC Warehouse, you can get no interest for 2 years, free delivery, and free TVs on mattress sets department-wide. Now through Saturday, get a Sealy queen set for just $227. Get to the Pay Mom Back Sale going on now at ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
Spring is here and it's time to get busy with your home improvement projects. If you're looking for quality painting, look no further than JD's Quality Painting in Saline. Owner John McCullough has been offering great service in Saline and the greater Ann Arbor area for 23 years. They do custom interior repainting as well as new construction. They also do drywall and staining. JD's Quality Painting Company uses all their own painters, not subs, so you're assured a great, high-quality job for any project. Ask John about their Painter for the Day program for all of your small and touch-up jobs, as well as the major projects. Call 734-429-0084. That's 734-429-0084, and ask for John. 734-429-0084 or visit jdqualitypainting.com. That's jdqualitypainting.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Brandon Drake joining me in studio.
Hey.
And Derek Stone, operations over there. Here we go.
Always glad to be here.
Hey, let's touch on Western again real quick. So I went there, of course, as well, a couple, two, 3 years before you. And radio was an interest of mine back then. And I had a radio show on the AM college run station. There was an AM and an FM, but they start you out on the AM. And My show was from 9 to 10 on Saturday mornings. So I did it like three times and quit. Reason being, our fraternity parties were on Friday night. And I would go in there so brutally hungover that it was just killing me. And like a total idiot, I decided that drinking and chasing women was more important than being sober and alert and on top of my game Saturday morning.
Yeah, well, you imagine when I had the 8 o'clock show here on Sunday mornings, my Saturday night party life went away. So when Linda said, "Hey, you get the upgrade," I don't know if it was an upgrade, but it was certainly an upgrade for me because I got my Saturday nights back. You know, then, you didn't want me to come in on Sundays. You could have been on with me that first year, but no.
Sunday morning?
Remember, I had the 8 o'clock show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Are you out of your freaking mind?
The Drake does not get up on Sunday mornings.
Oh me, oh my, gotta do something, oh this is terrible.
We gotta strike out that soundbite. Using it too much.
I still giggle though.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Take a quick call from Jimmy who wants to talk about Prop 1. And Jimmy, I will say this, was it not funny that Rick Snyder ended the speculation about his presidential run right after Prop 1 failed so miserably?
No, it wasn't funny. It was basically, that's exactly what was going to happen when he found out that his own party isn't going to support him, and half the Democrats aren't going to support him either.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's done. He's actually done. I think
he was like Chichescu.
Pretty much ended his political career. I think he's a done deal.
Yeah, good. Well,
which
I'm glad. I'm, you know, part of that goes to you, Jimmy. You guys at the Washtenaw GOP and everything else, you guys all worked your butts off to make sure this didn't pass. So, congrats.
Well, there's also 34% of the people that the last convention voted for Wes Nakagari and stood against him. And then we were able to stand totally. The party basically abandoned this whole Prop 1 whole deal, and half the Democrats were on our side. We took half of them with us. So, you know, this is a really interesting political time.
Yeah. Well, here, let me give a plug, too, because I want to give listeners a little heads up here. Gretchen Driscoll, your state rep, Democrat, was behind this Prop 1. She voted for it, and now she's going to be running in 2016 for your U.S. Congress. So make sure you remember that. Don't let that slide. Gretchen Driscoll is a big government person who wanted Prop 1. You know, she was digging deep into your pockets, and she'll dig deeper into your pocket as a congresswoman. So make sure you don't vote for Gretchen Driscoll come 2016. That would be a huge mistake.
Right, and I have a pretty good relationship with her. There's some things that I really, really like about her, and there are some things that I don't. But, you know, that you could say that about just about anybody, and to be honest with you. She's somebody I can work with at the state level. Let's put it that way. And you know, it doesn't matter that she was four. I knew she was four Prop One. One of her arguments was that they were no longer going to siphon money from the gas taxes to the schools. That's why this had to pass. So we would make them less corrupt.
Yeah.
That was one of her arguments.
Yeah, imagine that. The hypocrisy of something like that is just astounding. So, what else you got, Jimmy? Anything?
No, that's it. I'm going to get back to celebrating my 5-year anniversary with my wife, and I just thought I'd touch base with you on that.
Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations to your wife.
Congratulations, Jimmy, and I just wanted to give a shout-out and kudos to you because, Jimmy, you're probably our most fierce local warrior on the political scene that we have on this show. So you're always on top of it. You're always researching it. You're always, advocating the right thing to do.
Yeah. One of our educated listeners.
I can't do it without a team. I mean, and my wife is part of that team. Bill Bigler. I got to give shout out to Adam D'Angeli, all of those people, Tony DeMont. I mean,
Hey, Jimmy, this isn't the Oscars, man. Myself. You don't have to thank the little people. You know, you take the credit.
Okay, thank the little people. Yeah, my wife, it's been 5 long years, and for me, it's been about 5 minutes.
You got it.
Just kidding.
All right, Jimmy, you take care. Have
a
good
Jimmy.
One. All right, so, Jimmy's one of the good guys.
Oh, yeah.
Educated. Yeah. Joe Don Wyandotte, another good guy.
Oh, yeah.
They worked
Joe,
their butts off, and you guys need to pat yourselves on the back if nobody else is going to.
Definitely. Really Joe and Jimmy are always on top of it.
All right, so this got covered a little bit earlier, too, and we're talking about political correctness, and I know we're all Muslimed out, frankly, but I think this needs it. Carmen Harlan did get a lot of grief for a statement that she made on the news this week. And I wanted to play it because, you know what, when I listened to it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, who's got the sensitivities going on here? Derek, you got track one about this is just from WDIV. It's her part of their report. It's about a minute long. So let's play that.
Now, we did talk to our local sources here with the FBI, and they released a statement to us. I'll just read it to you. It says, the FBI is aware of the threat and has been investigating ISIS and other extremist groups who are attempting to radicalize people via the internet for some time. The FBI is not commenting on claims made in this or any other specific threat. And Carmen Devin, I just want to reiterate that this threat has not been authenticated, so we don't want to, you know, blow things out of proportion, but as I mentioned, it is something that the FBI is investigating, and we will, of course, keep you posted on any updates that we hear.
And Kimberly,
reporting live tonight in front of the FBI headquarters, Kimberly Gill, Local 4.
And given the fact that we have the largest Arab population outside of the Middle East, I guess this should not come as a real surprise. All right.
You're
Kimberly
exactly
Gill, reporting
right.
for us live.
Okay. What? That was true. I don't know if it's true anymore. I think I saw something about L.A. having the greatest concentration of Muslims outside the Middle East.
Well, she used the word Arab.
Oh, did she use Arab? Oh, okay, well, that could be. That might be
and
the
there's Christian Arabs, too,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
But it's just a fact. Why is she being... So we can't even tell the truth on the news anymore without people getting upset? How have we gone out of our bloody minds thinking that the truth, the facts... are now subject to being ridiculed. Are you kidding me?
You can't handle the truth.
I can't handle the people not wanting to hear the truth.
Well, you know, to me, this whole thing, like you said, we're all Muslimed out, and I am definitely. But once again, it goes back to the border, our immigration policy in general. We have a large landmass country, so it's very hard to police all of our, our borders, including the shores, the oceans and everything. And then social media. You know, we got the homegrown ones, too.
Yeah.
Watching this crap and falling for it. So, I don't want to blame social media, say that's the problem. But it's certainly been utilized as a tool for the bad guys. And I look at it like, I know you're a big fan of Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. But I don't know. This whole Arab Spring... and everything else since then, I'm looking at it like I think social media has done more harm or provided the opportunity to do more harm than good. Now, I'm just an old school guy that doesn't participate in that stuff, but I'm not seeing the great wonders of social media benefiting us.
Right, right. Well, we'll get into that. We'll continue this on the other side of the break because I think it's important. And we'll talk a little bit about the attack this week. So 734-822-1600, call in. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
The Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. ISIS claiming responsibility for a prison break in Iraq. 40 inmates, some of them terrorists, escaping after overcoming guards, killing 6 police officers and 30 prisoners. Former Army Intelligence Officer Tony Schaefer saying ISIS trying to raise its profile.
ISIS simply has come along and given a face, an attitude, and frankly, an operational focus to this jihad attitude that's been going on for a while. So ISIS is very effective using social media.
Schaefer speaking on CNN. Security levels at military bases raised due to concerns about terrorist threats. The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermilion with that story.
Increasing security at military bases inside the United States.
Not only do you have to secure the access to those bases, you have to ramp up security on the post itself.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Rick Francona on CNN.
That's Chris Vermilion reporting. The field of GOP candidates for president is expected to grow substantially. The Blaze Radio's Brad James.
These are people of great accomplishment, considerably greater than the accomplishments that Barack Obama had when he ran for president. And I think each one of them in a much better position to be president of the United States than Hillary Clinton.
That's former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. 3 more Republicans added to the list this week. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham expected to declare his candidacy soon. Giuliani saying it's time Hillary Clinton stopped dodging questions from the media about recent scandals involving her and former President Bill Clinton.
We're going to have an interesting debate over ideas, over things that are important to the American people, while we try to get Hillary to answer a single question.
Giuliani on Fox and Friends. Brad James, The Blaze News.
The lawyers for 6 Baltimore police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray want Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby off the case, filing a motion demanding Mosby's removal, claiming conflict of interest, the motion also questioning her office's investigation that leads to the officer's arrest. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Blues at the Elks happens on the second Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Plymouth Ann Arbor Elks Lodge, number 325. There's a $5 donation at the door, and bring your dancing shoes. Blues at the Elks is a partnership with the Detroit Blues Society. Tuesday, May 12th will take you to New Orleans with the Zydeco Hepcats. Jazz at the Elks happens on the last Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. There's a $10 donation at the door, which includes hors d'oeuvres. Enjoy jazz in a listening room setting close to the entertainers. Tuesday, May 26th, for the first time, brings Detroit legends Ursula Walker and Buddy Butson Trio to the Lodge. For more information, call 734-453-1780 or visit Plymouth Ann Arbor Elks 325.com. The Lodge is located at 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. The American Business Women's Association of Ann Arbor presents Fear of Failure, No. Attempted, Yes. It'll be May 19th at 6 p.m. at Quarter Bistro, 300 South Maple Road in Ann Arbor. The dinner meeting begins at 6:30 p.m. and this event is free, but dinner at your own cost. RSVP at abwa-maia.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAA. 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of Our Drift. Our Drift. Our Drift.
I'm taking a vow of silence, and I'm going to meditate and be calm and just try to get all this stuff out of my head.
Joining me in studio, Major Don West of the Jupiter 2.
It's funny you say that because I just heard you. Yeah, I was just talking to Ed Hoffman down the hall, and I said, I want a simpler time when I was 11 years old playing Army out in the woods and watching Lost in Space. Is that so much to ask for?
No, dude, of course not. We should go back to that.
I want that.
But we can't. I want it to.
I mean, back then, the threat of nuclear annihilation from the Soviet Union seemed like a simpler, fun time compared to now.
Doesn't it?
It really
does.
When
all we had to worry about was getting under a desk at school and letting the radioactive cloud rain down upon us.
Yeah, and discussing MIRVed warheads, multiple independent re-entry vehicles. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that was the good old days.
Yes, indeed. And we thought that would be all away, but now it's been replaced by something even more insidious.
Yeah. Andrei Gromyko, the foreign minister of the Soviet Union under Brezhnev, he'd get out there and bash the United States and blame us for everything, imperialism. Those seem like fun times now.
Yes, fun times. Speaking of which, cutting grass is a fun springtime hobby for some of us, especially you farmers and gentlemen farmers with your large lots of land. So
those of us that can get their lawnmowers started, I'm so envious of.
Well, if you're still having trouble with
your
lawnmower.
No, I got it started.
Did you?
20 poles later.
You can go to A. Shulman Equipment on 6 Mile Road in Whitmore Lake, right off of US 23, and buy yourself a new lawnmower. The Zero Turn Headquarters.
What a segue.
That's a segue. I was reaching for it.
Oh, man. See, people think that we plan this stuff and have scripts and have show prep. And no, I just come in here and shoot off my mouth about my lawnmower. I had no idea who our next sponsor was.
There you go. A. Shulman Equipment, dude. They've got LS tractors. They've got Coyote tractors. And these are bigger units. They've
Coyote
got Bobcat,
tractors?
Coyote
I
tractors.
I like the sound of that. Now, do they bring illegals across the Rio Grande?
No, these are Coyote with a K, and it's got the little coyote as the logo. But they're great tractors. So those of you who have, you know, acreage, you know, you want to have the little loader on the front and maybe the excavator on the back and a mower underneath. Nice little mowing.
Stoner's
deck.
Got acreage.
Do you?
Now I'm wondering, Stoner, do you have shrinkage?
Oh.
Seinfeld. It was on the other day. I saw that episode.
He's laughing. Maybe.
Do you know anything about shrinkage? You mean like laundry?
No, I don't have any shrinkage, no.
Okay. Yeah, right, dude.
The coffee's now kicking in. I'm sorry.
All right, so A. Shulman Equipment on 6 Mile Road in Whitmore Lake. 734-994-6000 is
that.
The number to call if you're interested in a tractor.
Say that number again because I actually hit the microphone with my headphones.
Dude, seriously?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I did.
734-994-6000. Or you can go to www.ashulman.com, and that's ashulman.com.
Wow,
I know. It's a mouthful.
You were crisp, clean. You just delivered it.
Yeah, it's kind of tough sometimes when I've had a couple of cups of Joe in me. So
I think it's helping both of us.
So we were talking about Islam a little bit, and of course we have a call from Ken on line one. Let's get Ken. He's been waiting patiently. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good show as usual.
Well, thank you, sir.
And first I wanted to say that I did love, and I still do, love Lost in Space.
All right.
I own the entire series on DVD.
Nice.
Nice.
And a good way to relax is to get a good slice of pizza and sit down with a beer and watch Lost in Space.
Hey, Ken, I've got to ask you now. You're a Lost in Space fan, as I am. I never get tired of those episodes. I don't care what anybody says. Those were not just kids. That was not just a kid's show. It had a much deeper meaning once you watch it. But on the same token, were you also a fan of Kimba, the White Lion?
Oh, we just talked about that today on Facebook.
Yeah, that was one of my all-time favorite shows right there with Lost in Space. How about you, Ken? Are you on board?
When I was a child, I liked Kimba, but I wouldn't watch him today. Because now as an adult, I can see the environmental left-wing propaganda that they used to push on Kimba.
No, give me a break. Don't be so serious. Kimba was so cool.
Nice,
so deep.
Nice.
I don't care. You can be environmentalist. All. He taught all the predators how to eat grass and live in peace.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Ken, give us your quick thoughts on Islam. I know you're pretty much against it, so go ahead.
Well, I just had to reaffirm, and while we still have the freedom to speak out against it, those of us that love freedom, we've got to keep preaching the truth, teaching the truth on this issue. I mean, we can examine the Quran and other books of Islam and just see just how evil and dangerous they are. We can examine 1,400 years of history to see just how violent this ideology truly is. it is in no way, shape, or form a, as some want to say, a religion of peace, but the total opposite of that. And the best example that I can give is just as foolish, just as wrong as it would say, it would be, and we're talking comparing ideologies, belief systems, and just as wrong as it would be to say that Nazism is harmless, that you can be a peaceful follower of Nazism, it would be just as stupid to say that about Islam.
Like Father Coughlin.
Yeah.
It's just not possible. You cannot be a devout, true follower of the teachings of the Quran, of Islam, and be a peace-loving person. It's not possible. An example of just how extreme these people are, and there again we have to understand that they do not believe, and this is even a basic fundamental of their faith, they do not believe in assimilation into a culture. They believe in transforming a culture that they occupy into an Islamic state. And that is, and I've brought this up on Theron's program, I know a restaurant owner in the Westland area that is constantly now being approached by leaders within the Muslim community, being told that, well, if you want the support of our people, if you want the support of our customers, you need to get rid of all the food products that you're currently selling, including all pork products, and start carrying halal products. And the owner of this restaurant, who is never going to offer halal at all, period, did get an interesting thing out of a conversation. He said, well, if someone ever wanted to offer halal, they could always go to Sysco, because Sysco, a food distributor, is now offering halal products. And the one gentleman who was there, again, is an activist in the area, said, oh, no, 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 that wouldn't be good at all. It has to be a Muslim-owned company that you buy your halal products from. So even though your products themselves are halal, that's not good enough for the Islamic community. You actually have to go to a Muslim business. The whole point is, there again, they don't want assimilation at all.
Yeah, they want to take over. You're absolutely right, Ken.
Well, they want to take over.
Islamic State, for example, one of many groups, they've always said that. And they that's part of their dogma, their doctrine that they're very vocal about,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there's no secrets about that.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, because what Pamela Geller did, you know, people say, oh, she's poking the hornet's nest and what. No, she's not. She is alerting you and telling you this was just a way to say, here's what these people stand for. And those two guys attacking in Texas and getting shot in the head, kudos to the officer who shot him in the head. What a great shot he must be. That shows you exactly what's going on. In fact, Derek, I want to play a track. And I think Stephen Crowder's had this guy on his show not long back. It's Anjan Chowdhury, who was a radical Islamist in London. But this guy is the real deal. This is what he wants. Do you have that track ready, Derek? No, he's going to have to try and dig it up for us. If you haven't read the Quran, and I have.
I have.
I encourage people, go ahead and read it. And you will see for yourself that, you know what, there's something just not right about it. It doesn't fit with Western values. It is not just a religion. It is a, I would say, a cult of some sort. It is a way of life that doesn't sit well with freedom. It doesn't sit well with Western values. And anyone that falls into it, because I read the book, honestly, I was looking for something in my 30s, and I was looking for something different. And at first, I kind of liked it, and there's some beautiful poetry in the book. But by the time I finished it, I went, this guy, Muhammad, is kind of like a Democrat. It's one set of rules for Muhammad and a different set of rules for everybody else. And so it struck me as completely hypocritical.
One thing you have to understand about the Quran, and a devout Muslim knows this and uses it against the ignorant, there's actually two sets of teachings of Muhammad. In the beginning, when Muhammad was by himself, before he built up his army, he taught peace and tolerance because he had no choice. But once he got his army built, that changed. And it began. He began to teach the whole idea of conversion or pay taxes if you want to survive within our occupation territory. Well, the thing is, Muslims understand, now they have what they call their doctrine of abrogation. And so Muslims, when they're talking to someone that doesn't know their religion, they'll quote those passages that they know they don't have to follow. They know that they're not bound to follow the earlier writings of Muhammad. They won't quote to you the passages that they're bound to obey. And so Islam is not a religion of peace. It never was, never will be. And we need to stop promoting the idea that it is. We need to educate the people to the threat.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, just think about it, could you imagine going back to World War II, and there again we're looking at ideologies, belief system. If we tried to convince everybody that, hey, Nazism is okay, it's a peaceful ideology, we'd all be speaking German right now.
Yeah. Here's a question I've got, though. I'm just going to throw this out there. Now, I know, I agree, you know, if it's strict Sharia law, you know, medieval thinking and all that, but like, say, I'm going to throw out there, again, the Kurds. Okay, I know that not every single group within the Kurdish communities in Syria and Iraq and Iran and et cetera are peaceful and are going to, like, be saddling up with the United States. However, it seems like before this recent ISIS invasion that a good chunk of Kurdistan was very stable, very peaceful. It seemed like their women, I mean, Kurds have women fighters on the front line. Have you seen some of these YouTube clips where these women, I mean, they're not held back.
But I hear that most Kurds are actually Christian.
No, I think most Kurds they consider themselves Muslim.
Know.
So my question and point is, the Kurds consider themselves Muslim. Of course, ISIS doesn't consider them true Muslims. And I get all that where, you know, ISIS doesn't consider Shia true Muslim. They're apostates. So I'm saying, are there any Muslims we can work with? I think the Kurds were a certain group that we could work with.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they weren't trying to enforce anything on us.
Yeah, if there's 1.2 billion Muslims on this planet,
Indonesia,
not all of them are trying to promote total annihilation of everyone but Muslims.
I guess the best way to look at it for people to understand. Now, there are a lot of people who call themselves Roman Catholics, yet completely reject everything the Catholic Church teaches.
That's kind of my point.
They believe it's okay to have an abortion. But I think when we need to look at Islam, it's the issue of devout. Anyone who believes that the Quran is divine, anyone who believes that the Quran is the word of Allah, using their descriptive name, they're dangerous. Because the Quran itself is dangerous when you read the Quran. So I think that's what you have to look at. Are we talking about people who are devout? If they are, they're dangerous.
That's the distinction.
And if devout is defined as literally following the Quran and having this middle-age mentality and cutting off heads and enforcing your way, like you said, Ken, where, you know, you force conversion or tax, all that stuff, that's the enemy. But I think Indonesia, I think it's the most heavily populated Muslim country in the world, and I'm not an expert on Indonesia, but it seems like, they're kind of going after extremists within their country, too, and they're under attack.
Well, great call, Ken. Educational, as always, we appreciate it.
So I'm not defending the Sharia. I don't want anyone to get that idea just because I'm not screaming.
No, not you.
Everyone.
Well, I think what we need to do through education, and education is always the key word, we need to show people that the Quran itself is evil, the contents of the Quran is dangerous, and we need to get people away from Islam and into Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. Well, thanks,
Ken. Walid Shoebot, are you familiar with him?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Well, Walid Shoebot, former Muslim, now a Christian, and he said there's only one way to deal with this problem. We need to get people out of Islam and direct people back to the Bible.
Yeah. Well, not sure that'll happen anytime soon, Ken, but it's a good idea. All right. Well, thanks, Ken. As always, good and educational comments. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah, and you're not going to make that happen with people that aren't Muslim.
No.
You know, that's not going
to. That's like talking to liberals. You can't get that.
Yeah, it's like talking to a Teamster.
let's take a call from Walter online, too. Walter, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for Ken. I know Ken, thanks for hogging up my time, Ken. I'm kidding. Ken's a good guy, man. Real insightful. You know, even though I disagree with him, he should have voted for Romney. You know, he was one part of the proponent.
You're just opening it.
Like I said, I hope you're listening, Ken, but I still love you, man. I'm a Christian like you, and you know, brotherly love, but man.
See, Walter, you're an apostate. See, you're going that Mormon road, and therefore, you know.
I'm telling you, man, and Ken, you know, I'm a brown skinned guy, you know, and with you know, brotherly love, man, but in wisdom. You should have voted. A lot of people that stayed home should have voted for Romney. We probably wouldn't be putting up with a lot of this nonsense with these Muslims trying to run this country down and everything else. Probably had better policies and everything else, but it ain't going to change on Osama Obama. I want to make three quick points real quick. Yeah, first of all, have you guys heard about that racist statement that Michelle Obama made about black kids?
No.
Inner-city kids not having the same opportunities, or they will feel out of place if they go to our museums. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, that's the latest buzz. I heard it on a few talk shows during the week, and actually it was on a talk show that Ken calls also on Joshua's Trail on the 1400 station.
Send me an email on that, Walter, if you can. I'd like to follow up on that.
See, I can't be bothered with news during the week. I'm watching Lost in Space and loving life.
Lost in Space?
Yeah.
Lost in America. That's where you are. Okay.
Yeah, but she made that comment. I don't know what she was speaking at, man. She was trying to... That's what's wrong about the Democratic prop. The Democrats, they try to create problems when there is no problems. I tell you what, I grew up in Gary, Indiana. And, of course, on field trips, you're talking about 70s and 80s, man. I was in grade school, and they took us to Chicago to the Museum of Science and Industry. We didn't have had no problems back then when racism was probably more
prevalent.
Prevalent. We never had any problems as African men. All African American schools I went to in Gary, Indiana. I remember going to the museum several times and never had any racial problems.
Yeah, it's just Michelle Obama again trying to divide the country. That's absolutely true.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
I, before we let you go, Walter, I just wanted to ask you now, when you say Gary, Indiana, you know, anytime I've driven to Chicago, that whole swath of I-94, when you're approaching Gary, Indiana, until you get through there, that smell, is that still the case? And was it always like that, smelling like that when you were growing up?
Oh, most definitely. It's because of the steel mill,
yeah.
You know, U.S. Steel. My father, he worked at U.S. Steel. That's how we survived with 9 children. They raised us. 9 children for working for U.S. Steel, Inland Steel, all those steel mills in East Chicago, Indiana, and all that. That's what you smell. But I tell you what you will see is a next-door neighbor to Detroit, identical, look far as looks. It looks just like a small Detroit, raggedy, tore up, crime-ridden, ran by Democrats for 50 years. And things still haven't changed.
Yes,
black city councils are still living in the ghost of civil rights past.
Right. So, Walt, quick, go on to your Prop 1 comment real quick, because I got phone calls backing up here.
Okay.
What's your Prop 1 comment?
Go ahead.
Oh, let me throw this out there real quick. I guarantee you, I know we're rejoicing, but I tell you what, it would have been a little nightmare if, let's say, for instance, use this scenario. If Jindy Graham-Holmes was in office and this same proposal came up, just think about all those Democrats that refused to vote for Proposal 1 because they was getting back at Rick Snyder, you know, for raising the seniors' taxes and all that stuff, and not knowing that he's a Democrat just like them. Anyway, all of a sudden, they voted against it, but I guarantee you, if there was a Democratic governor, Democrat Michigan Senate and House, I guarantee you some of those same people would have voted for it.
Yeah,
and
probably.
And be willing to suffer with the Democratic Party. That's just how much they hate Republicans and white Republicans and black conservatives. They're willing to suffer under the policies of the Democrats.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, great comments, Walter. Appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk to you again next week.
Okay.
All right, take
care.
Let's take a call from Dennis on line 3. He wants to talk about Prop 1 and fireworks legislation. Dennis, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, now that Prop 1 is behind us, I just wonder if any legislator is talking about changing this fireworks law. You mentioned Gretchen Driscoll, who happens to be my rep, and I called her right after 4th of July, and she said she's got all kinds of complaints about it, and she'd look into it. I called back in the fall, and I got the same story. So now that July 4th is coming upon us, I don't want to look forward to bombs going off over my roof again.
So yeah, that's a hot button issue for me too. I hate the fireworks law. Some people have accused me like, oh, you're just like Obama. You don't want freedom. And no, I want freedom to enjoy quiet. So yeah, Dennis, I'm totally with you on that. I think for the most part, most people hate that law, and it doesn't generate that much in tax revenue to make a difference. It doesn't make a hill of beans of difference to solve any problems. It's just now annoying people can be that much more annoying.
That's right. And the mortar shells going in the residential areas just doesn't make any sense to me.
And everyone violates the law. It's bad enough that the law officially states the day before, the day of, and the day after a national holiday. But you know as well as I do that people are setting those damn things off 2-3 weeks in advance.
I had some going off the other night. I figure, well, Mother's Day's coming up, so they're lighting off bombs. So
yeah.
What I don't know. I just wondered if any legislators looking into it again and getting rid of it.
We had a Democrat on the American Dream about a year ago, and he was trying to, you know, based on like everything you just said, all the complaints, he was trying to get this thing reversed. He said it's been a disaster, and he's a Democrat. I totally agreed with him. Yep. I forget his name right now.
Well, if you find
the only Democrat I voted for because she did a good job as mayor over here, and I was hoping she would do the same up in Lansing, but we'll wait and see.
Okay. Well, great comments, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
let us know,
Dennis,
if you know more about the fireworks, okay?
Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor before the show ends. Mike, welcome to the show.
Mike.
I just want to say something. Not all Muslims are bad. Let me give you a great example. Back in 1992, there was a Catholic shrine in Bosnia called the Shrine of Medjugorje, Our Lady of Medjugorje. It was under fire by the Yugoslav army. The Croatian forces were losing badly. 3,000 Muslim soldiers marched 4 days and four nights through the mountains of Bosnia to save that Catholic memorial. 250 of them lost their lives. 250 Muslim boys and 400 Croatian boys were buried in the same grave together in a massive grave, Muslim and Catholic. So not all Muslims are bad. I know a lot of Muslims who gave their lives for our people, for the Roman Catholic people in Bosnia. So please, you know, if you're going to go after the Muslims, go with the ones in the Middle East, but not all Muslims.
Great point, Mike.
Buried in the grave with Catholic boys.
You know, Mike, you mentioned the Bosnian War, and the internet was just starting to really come on stream, and I actually had an email, not an email, it was a website, and you could have like pen pals, and this was kind of new, you know, where you could do this for free, the internet. And one of the pen pals I had, I say pen pal, I wasn't writing out a letter, it was all through the internet, was a very nice young woman in Bosnia, trapped in Sarajevo, and I think she was working as a clerk or something on a U.S. base there. Mm-hmm. And she was perfectly, I mean, about as mainstream, and loved the NBA, and her brother loved basketball, and it was really interesting hearing about her life.
Let me tell you something. If you understand Muslims, the Muslims in Europe, the Muslims in Bosnia are totally different than what you're getting in Saudi Arabia.
That's true. I know a bunch of Albanian Muslims, and they are completely different than what you see in the Middle East. Absolutely.
And when I hear people sitting there categorically saying all Muslims are bad, I just remember the boys who lost their lives saving a Catholic monument and saved a lot of Croatians in the southern part of Bosnia. So please, when you're bad-mouthing all the Muslims, just think of the guys that lost their lives helping Christians.
Yeah, I don't think we bad-mouth all Muslims ever.
Well,
I think
you've got a caller, Ken from Livonia.
Well, even Ken said, though,
anything that's Muslim goes after it.
Yeah, Ken backed down a
little. I won't tolerate
Ken
that.
Said devout. He qualified as David. He
later
said devout Muslims.
Well, these people are devout Muslims
about.
Also. They read the Quran and everything else. But like I say, they've laid their lives down for Christians. They've laid their lives down for a Christian holy site. So please, in the name of God,
but
not,
the point is,
Mike,
the point is, they're not following the same dictates as the ISIS people, and that's the difference. So
right,
all right.
Right.
So we can argue this one all night.
Well, that's
long,
a great
probably,
discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay abreast of the information you need to.
I love our callers.
All right, bye bye.